Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Codex Magica by Tex Mars right after this. Hey, let me ask you this question. What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they teach the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We Americans have made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? She can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. We have been reviewing the book Codex Magica. It's an encyclopedia of witchcraft. It has over 1,000 photographs of famous movie stars, political leaders, and religious leaders, all practicing witchcraft right in front of your eyeballs. In fact, these Kabbalists practice witchcraft on the television screen when you're watching the news. You and I don't see it because we're not the initiates. We're not the adepts. We're just Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. But a guy by the name of Tex Mars took the time, effort, and energy, and he picked out the photographs of Donald Rumsfeld making a satanic sign while he was being photographed as Secretary of Defense. And Tex Mars goes through 600 pages of material. Took Winston Churchill. I brought him up last program. And I said, Winston Churchill was a Druid priest. He was a Freemason. He was an occultist. Now, you know, most people, if you've been to school like I have been taught, Winston Churchill was the savior of Western democracy. He kept Britain in the war. And he and Franklin D. Roosevelt saved the world from Hitler's Nazis. Hitler was also an occultist. Hitler also worshipped Satan the devil. And World War II was a part of a choreographed program. Killed 50 million people. World War I, 25 million people. These occultists in control of the world's governments, not just one or two, but all of them, including the United States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand and England and Western Europe. These occultists who are in control work for the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil. Now, the only bright spot in all of this is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, well, one of these days I'll come back and throw that clown out, and I'll take over and run this thing correctly. Meanwhile, back on the farm, you and I have been saddled with these occultists, the practitioners of witchcraft. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about witchcraft. And we have talked now for six programs about the witchcraft that's being practiced around us, you know, from Harry Potter to the Freemasons to the Jewish Kabbalah to, you know, on and on it goes, Winston Churchill and George Bush and the Skull and Bones people. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, years and years ago, about 3,500 years ago now, told Moses, he said, now let's write down some statutes here and let's talk about this thing of witchcraft. And witchcraft is one of 24 criminal statutes or 24 crimes punishable by death. It's not just an ordinary crime like you failed to put a quarter in the parking meter, or you were caught speeding, or you were drunk driving. Those are not capital felonies. This is a capital felony. There are 17 words used in the scripture to describe witchcraft. They are divination, witchcraft, observer of times, enchantments, magicians, sorcerers, charmers, witches, wizards, familiar spirits, consulter with familiar spirits, divine, enchanters, diviners, passing through the fire, necromancers, and dreamers. And then there are three other more common forms of witchcraft called firewalkers, Ouija boards, and Halloween. Now, while firewalkers, Ouija boards, and Halloween aren't mentioned in the scripture, they're certainly prohibited activities under these 17 definitions or 17 instructions concerning witches and witchcraft. It's a big thing. It's always been a big thing. Satan the devil is the world's number one wizard. And magic and magicians like Houdini were all practitioners of the dark arts, black arts. In Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12, it tells us Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so as the Eternal had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now what was being done here was supernatural. And it wasn't just supernatural on the part of God the Creator, you know, the God of Moses. This was supernatural in that the magicians came in and they threw their rods on the ground and they too became serpents. Now just picture this. Let's suppose somebody walks into your living room and they're carrying a stick. The guy throws the stick down on the carpet and it turns into a snake. Wouldn't you be pretty impressed by that? Now, most people believe that a miracle is something that comes from God. And indeed, it is something that is beyond the realm of physics as we know it. Just like a 747 was beyond the realm of physics as the people 200 or 300 years ago knew it. Doesn't mean that it's impossible to get 700,000 pounds of steel and aluminum and metal and parts to fly through the air. it's difficult, it's tricky, and it requires some knowledge, but we know it can be done because we see it done today. And Pharaoh saw it done right in front of his eyeballs. Now, if somebody else came in the room and threw a stick down and it became a snake, you'd say, that leaves me in a quandary. I don't know who the greater of the two is here. But the symbol of Aaron's snake swallowing the other guy's snake showed that his magic was greater. All right. Now, these are extra physical. These are miracles that you're seeing here. Done right in front of Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron did it, and the magicians did it. So if you see fire come down from heaven and devour somebody, you're looking at a miracle. But it doesn't mean that that miracle came from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Satan is also a very powerful spirit being. Not as powerful as the Creator, but he's still very powerful. Kind of reminds me of the Soviet Union. A very powerful nation, not quite as powerful as the United States. In Exodus 7, verses 19 through 22, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, and he said, "Say unto Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt and upon the streams, and upon all the rivers, and upon all the ponds, and all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone." And Moses and Aaron did so. And he lifted up his rod, and he smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of the servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and neither did he hearken unto them as the Eternal had said. So the magicians of Egypt, you know, the magic men, the Houdinis of their day, their Donald Rumsfelds and their Freemasons of the time, they did the same thing. They also had the power to perform this supernatural act. Where did they get their power? Well, what we're dealing with here is an invisible spirit realm revealed in the Scripture. There are people, as old Carl Sagan used to say, we're looking for life in outer space. You know, is there life in outer space? There, down in New Mexico, there's a project called SETI, S-E-T-I, I believe it is. And as you're driving down the highway here, I forgot which road it is now, but out in the desert there's a bunch of humongous satellite dishes. I mean, gigantic satellite dishes, not just one or two, but there must be 30 of them out there. And they're trying to find the radio frequencies, and they're looking for life out there in outer space. You really don't need to spend a lot of money to find out if there's life in outer space. The Bible tells you very plainly, there's life all over space, all over the place. It's not physical life like we know it here on planet Earth, you know, where you've got raccoons and elephants and tigers and cows and dogs and sheep and cats and one thing and another, but there's life out there, and they're revealed. There's spirit beings. There's angels and archangels and cherubim, seraphim. And then there's the God, the Creator, and there's these demons. There are demons, you know, people that are, or creatures that are fallen angels, are called in the Scripture. Yeah, there's lots of life out there. And this life over here is pretty powerful. Little more knowledgeable than the average Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, you know, going to work every morning up and down the freeway, you know, commuting to work. And people today who call themselves magicians and enchanters, people who are witches, sorcerers, and charmers, they have tapped into this neither world. They have tapped into the world of these fallen angels, angels that have great power, and they can actually produce what we call miracles. And here in the Bible, it's being revealed to us that, hey, these spirit creatures, they have very unusual powers. In Exodus 8, verses 5 through 7, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, and he said to Aaron, you stretch forth your hand with your rod over the streams and the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land. You know, here's a guy comes out here, and he does this enchantment, and he brings forth frogs, like bringing a rabbit out of a hat. I mean, that's pretty impressive. How did he do that? Only it wasn't one or two rabbits out of a hat. It was tens of millions, maybe billions of frogs that were in everything. In Exodus 8, verses 16 through 19, the Eternal said unto Moses, you say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. So there were lice upon the man and the beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Eternal had said. So now we're getting up to a level of miracle that the magicians could not perform. They could make frogs. They could turn the water to blood. They could cast their rods down and turn them into snakes, but they couldn't make the lice. Why? I don't know. But something very definitely is afoot here, because there is a God, there is a creator out here, there's somebody, there's something, some kind of a deity that could do that, and the other deity over here couldn't. So that tells us another little piece to the story. There are some deities out there. Some of them are more powerful than others. In fact, over in the book of Daniel, we find that two angels, a guy by the name of Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, also an archangel, contended with Satan the devil, who is also an archangel. These archangels are more powerful than everyday, ordinary, garden variety angels. And they contended with him for 21 days to subdue him. So Satan is a very powerful archangel. He's not as powerful as two rival archangels, but he's powerful enough that it took the other two angels 21 days to subdue him. I don't know how you subdue an angel. I don't know if you hit him over the head with a club. You shoot him with a 45 in the chest. I don't know how angels deal with other angels. Never had that come up before. I've never experienced that. I'm just reporting what was reported in the book of Daniel, that it took two archangels, and I presume that Satan then is more powerful than either of the other two. If it took two guys to subdue Satan, I think Satan one-on-one with either Michael or Gabriel would probably do him in. That leads me to another conclusion. I would say that Satan is more powerful than any human being, any man on planet Earth. If Satan could control or outperform or could defeat one archangel, I would say he could probably do it to me, George Gordon, without much difficulty. And indeed, the scripture tells us that our fight isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the prince of the power of the air, the angels, these spirit powers. Now in Exodus 22, verse 18, it says, you shall not suffer a witch to live. So if you find a witch, which is a female practitioner of witchcraft, they're not to live, they're to be executed, killed, tried, of course. You've got to have a fair trial. And then when we convict them, we take them out. And in Anglo-Saxon administration, when they found a witch, they burned her at the stake. Oh no. The execution is to be done by stoning. Burning people at the stake is not the approved, God-ordained punishment for a witch. Now, I don't know why it is, but human beings, men in general, have taken it upon themselves to come up with novel ways of executing condemned prisoners, such as electrocution, gas. You know, we have our gas chambers. We hang them. We drop them off of a scaffold and break their necks, like Saddam Hussein. And we electrocute them. You know, we've just got all kinds of ways of killing people, but the approved modality that came from the Creator is that you stone them to death. And that includes witches. In Leviticus 19:26, it says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times." My grandmother was an observer of times. And she was an avid follower of American astrology. She would not walk out of the house until she had read her horoscope first. And then after she read her horoscope, first thing in the morning, she would then take a look around, and sometimes she wouldn't leave the house, sometimes she wouldn't leave home. She'd go out in the garden, but she wouldn't go downtown. Sometimes she wouldn't travel. She wouldn't go from Eureka to Willits because of her horoscope. My grandmother was an observer of times, and she had a publication called American Astrology Magazine, and she believed in it fervently. I used to always think it was kind of crazy. I never subscribed to it, but it was certainly a part and parcel of my early life. I was certainly aware of it. In Leviticus 19:31, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, and neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, because I'm the Eternal, your God." So there's something in here called a familiar spirit, and then a wizard. Well, a wizard is a male witch, a guy that conjures up witches and witchcraft and practices witchcraft. If he's a male, he's called a wizard. If he's a female, then we call her a witch. Now, we were busily burning the female witches, but I don't ever remember any historical accounts of wizards being burned at the stake. I guess that's just part and parcel, lady, with being female, you know. In religious circles, if a female breaks the law, we get real up, and we got to take care of that. It kind of reminds me of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, you see, because Bill Clinton, he was committing adultery with Monica Lewinsky, but he's a stud and she's a slut. You ever wonder why that is? When we catch an adulteress, we paint an A on her forehead, and we just really mark the adulteress. But doesn't it take two to tango? I mean, can you have an adulteress without an adulterer? I always thought it took two to tango. In fact, in the scripture, it requires the death of both participants. You can't just kill the woman. Now, that again comes from religion, ladies. That's religion. It's not the Bible. It doesn't come from the God of creation, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it certainly comes from religion, Christian religion in particularity. In Leviticus 20, verse 6, "The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and have wizards." Familiar spirits. Demon-possessed people. And in the New Testament, there's a number of cases where, for instance, Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. 7 demons. Isn't that just something special? Mary Magdalene had familiar spirits. I remember one time I was doing a job, and we were out looking at an apartment house. And when you go out to look at an apartment house that you're preparing to buy, you know, the real estate broker, he makes an appointment with the seller and with the apartment house manager, and they give a notice to all of the tenants that the building is for sale and that we're showing the building and we want to come into your apartment and we want to show your apartments. And so this is up in Boise, Idaho, and we're out here about an 8 or 10 unit building, and we're going through the apartments, and pretty soon we came up to this apartment, and there's this old lady lives in here. I say old lady because at that time I was in my 30s, and this lady's probably 50. She might have been 60, but I'd say she's probably in her 50s. And her hair wasn't combed. And she was really unkempt. She just looked pretty poor. And she went over, and she never spoke a word. She never said a word. She opened the door. She knew what we were there for. There was about five or six in our party. And she went over to the other side of the room, and she never took her eyes off of me. I don't know why she was looking at me, per se. She didn't look at Peter. She didn't look at Jim Ald. She wasn't concerned about the other people. But, boy, she followed. And I came in with a clipboard. I'm a general contractor, and I'm in here taking notes as to what it is we're going to do to this apartment. How much is it going to cost to renovate it? So I'm taking notes, you know, the condition of the floor and the ceiling, the walls, the paint, the glass, you know, and the stoves and one thing. And then when we would go into another room, she would sneak around and she'd look at me and she'd watch where I was going, what I was doing. And it was really an embarrassing affair. And of course, then when we left, everybody in the party was male. And then when we walked out, the other guys, you know, they're saying, "Hey, did you see how that woman was watching you, Gordon?" And I said, "Yeah, it was kind of eerie." And of course, they immediately put a sexual connotation to it, and they said, "Boy, was she watching you." You know, I didn't see this woman as being particularly attractive. In fact, I saw her as being evil. That was the thought that crossed my mind at the time. I said, "Is that woman demon-possessed?" Yeah, she was. She was demon-possessed. And that demon in her was watching me like a hawk. And I was a little bit uneasy. So there's an example of a familiar spirit. Now, here in Leviticus 20, verse 27, a man or a woman who or has a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, this familiar spirit over here, this demon that inhabits this person, is there because the person wants them there. And they actually use that demon for their witchcraft purposes. Such as a medium has a familiar spirit who's sitting there conjuring up this seance. She's demon-possessed. And she's conjuring up, and people will, I've talked to people that have been to these seances, and they actually hear the voice of the dead person that they're bringing back. And so these people are all convinced that, hey, this person's soul is speaking to us here in this seance. Truth of the matter is, it's the demon who is producing the voice of the dead person. And the reports that I got, now I've never been to one myself, but the reports that I got from the people who have actually been in these seances say, that was Bob. Because he said things that only Bob would know. You know, so we're dealing with miracles. We're dealing with spirit beings. We're dealing with people who are demon-possessed. Now, there are other people who are demon-possessed that do not have the familiar spirit. They're not practicing witchcraft. They may just be the victim. We don't stone them. That's another subject for another day called demon possession. But this familiar spirit over here, this is the spirit in the person who is willingly performing as a witch, wizard, or a person who is conducting a seance. In Numbers 23, verses 20 through 26. Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, and neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Eternal is God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion, and he shall not lay down until he eats the prey, and drinks the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Eternal speaketh, that I must do? Now this is a story here where a king comes along and he sees these Israelites and he says, you know, these guys need to be cursed. So he calls this guy who is a magician, and he says, I want you to curse these people over here. And so the magician comes out there, and he takes a look at him, and God come over to this guy in a dream, and he said, don't you curse my people Israel. And so he had to obey. Not quite sure why. Satan's been a rebel and a rebellion, or in rebellion, you know, for thousands of years. But there's a power structure here. There's power. And this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has power over Satan and power over his demons. And the Messiah brought that up. He gave power to his disciples. He gave them the power to cast out demons from people who were demon-possessed. I don't have that power. I'm not an exorcist. I'm not that tuned in. I can observe others. I can read the history of it. I can see what has been done in the past. And in the New Testament, some people have that power. Today, in the year 2007, there are people that can cast out demons. There are people that have certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that all of us have them. That doesn't mean that any that I can do it. But I can sit here and report that there are people out there that can do that. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here while we're going through the scriptures on demons and demonism and familiar spirits and so on, to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give, they don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. You see, most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or economic, or sectarian, or racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed, at least not in its entirety, by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, or the sponsors, or management, or the staff of this network, or local radio station. But for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, we invite you to go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or to call us here at the Law School, direct 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about Codex Magic, and I should give Mr. Mars a little plug here. It's a 600-page book on the occult. And it's really, once you pick it up, you can hardly put it down. You got to keep reading the captions under the pictures. You know, well, here's Winston Churchill. Well, what was his connection with the occult? And here's Teresa Hines, the wife of Senator Kerry. And I had to read that one, and you just capture your imagination as you go through here and you look at movie stars and rap singers and rock stars and Elvis Presley and on and on and on it goes. And then their connections, you know, they're very well connected people, very wealthy, very well connected. And you can get a copy of Codex Magica, probably from Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. But if you can't find it, for whatever reason, or if there's any other underground publication that you can't find, there's a bookstore. There's a bookstore in Austin, Texas. And they specialize in these underground books. They've got above ground books too, but you know, if you're looking for, you know, say the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, now that's a banned book. You know, you're not supposed to read things like that. And as a result, there's a blackout. You know, if it's not approved, you can't read it. I know we have freedom of press and freedom of speech in this country, but you know, you walk in and you say, "I want this book," and they look at you like, "Well, we don't carry that." Well, would you order it for him? No, we won't order it for you either. Well, here's a guy that will. And it's called the Brave New Bookstore. And you can get them on the internet. It's www.bravenewbookstore. It's easy enough. Brave New World. Remember that one? Aldous Huxley brought Brave New World. This is the Brave New Bookstore.com. BraveNewBookstore.com. They also have an address. They're at 1904 Guadalupe in Austin, Texas. 1904 Guadalupe, pretty close to the college campus, University of Texas. And they've got a phone number. It's 866-516-6623. So if you got a pen and paper there, why don't you write that down? It's 866-516-6623. And I don't get any commissions for any books that you sell. A lot of times people a lot of times people call the law school and say, "Hey, I'm going to get a copy of that book. Where am I going to find it? Would you sell it to me?" Well, we're not a book company here. We don't sell books here at the law school. And oftentimes I don't know where you can get a copy of that book. Sometimes I'll review a book that, you know, is out of print or it's pretty old. I don't know where you can get it. Now, oftentimes, if you're looking for an old book, you know, you can go into a used bookstore, get the name of the author and the book. They'll plug it into their computer network, and I've gotten books out of South Africa and Long Beach, California by doing that. So if you're looking for a rare book, you know, one that's been published in 1918, but, you know, it's out of print, that's the way you find those. Now, if you're looking for something that's underground and you can't find it, if you'll go to the BraveNewBookstore.com, I think you'll find it. If you don't, they'll get it for you. All right, now we're looking at the scriptural account here of demons and demon possession and all of these terms that are used in the Bible to describe witches and witchcraft, which is strictly prohibited, punishable by death. And then in Numbers 24, verse 1, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Eternal to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 18:9-14, when you are come into the land which the Eternal your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, you know, firewalkers, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Eternal, and because of these abominations, the Eternal your God does drive them out from before you. And you shall be perfect with the Eternal your God, for these nations, which you shall possess, hearkened unto observers of times and under diviners. But as for you, the Eternal your God has not suffered, has not allowed you to do so. Now, he threw out those nations before us because one of their crimes, one of their criminal activities, was they practiced the occult, they practiced witchcraft. Here in the United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, we're about to be dispossessed of our land and to be thrust out. Two causes. Witchcraft, that's number two. Number one, it's Sabbath breaking. The penalty for refusing to practice the Sabbaths, plural, seven annual holy days and the weekly Sabbath is to be deported. It is to be expunged from the land. Not just taken into national captivity. That's part of it. That's the good part. But you will be rounded up and deported from the land. You'll see that in Leviticus 26:34. Now, in 1 Samuel 28, verses 3 through 14, Samuel was dead. Okay? Samuel is dead. And all Israel had lamented him, and they buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and they came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Eternal, the Lord answered him not. So Saul, he saw this foreign army, and just like you Israelis over there, you know, you see all these Palestinians out there, and you know, oh my God, what are we going to do? So instead of obeying God and keeping his commandments, you know, Saul, he took a look around out here. He prayed, but God didn't answer him. He prayed, and God didn't answer him. Because God didn't answer him, he really got excited now. And neither by dreams nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Then said Saul to his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. I gotta have a necromancer. I've gotta have a seance woman here. So he says, go find me a woman that has a familiar spirit that I may go to her and inquire of her. So his servant said of him, well, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and he put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came by the woman at night, and said, I pray you, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall come unto you, or whom I shall name unto you. And the woman said unto him, behold, you know that Saul has done, that he has cut off all those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Eternal, saying, as the Lord lives, there shall no punishment happen to you for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto you? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast you deceived me? For you are Saul, the king. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, because what you saw, for what sawest thou? And so the woman now, remember this woman now, she is shocked beyond belief. She knows that witches and wizards are being killed. And she knows that the king Saul personally, well, instructed, if not personally, but instructed all the witches and wizards be killed in the land. So this woman is practicing the black arts, you know, very, very underground. Saul now can't make contact with the God of Moses. He won't talk to Saul. Saul won't practice the law. God won't talk to him. And he's surrounded now by these Philistines, and he wants to get a message from Samuel, who was the last high priest. And so, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy. So, in this case here, so I'm looking for page 3 here. Here it is. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth, and he said to her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed himself. So this woman brought up, the demon that was in her brought up Samuel. Now Samuel was dead and buried in a hole in the ground. It wasn't Samuel, but it was an apparition. It was what Saul perceived to be. And these wizards and witches can do that. I've had people report that to me. That yes, indeed, that was the voice. Now, they didn't see the person. In this case, Saul saw Samuel. Didn't talk to him, but he saw him. And that's why he bowed himself. Now, in 2 Kings 17:17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments, and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Eternal to provoke him to anger. That's what we're doing today with Halloween and Harry Potter. We Americans, we just can't get enough of this Harry Potter thing. We just can't wait to teach this witchcraft to our children. 2 Kings 23:24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Eternal. So here's another king that Josiah put away the witches out of the land. That's what we should be doing here today. All of the witches and wizards in the land should be put to death. And if we did that, that would include the President of the United States, the Vice President, who's a Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, our nation is permeated with these witches practicing witchcraft and wizards practicing witchcraft. Now, that's not going to happen, and I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating just sit back and relax, boys and girls, and then watch the show go by. You can rest assured that there will come a point in time when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will deal firmly with these abominations going on. And he will deal very firmly with those that practice witchcraft with our national leaders. So if you want to practice witchcraft, you know, get after it. But don't think that you'll get away with it. There's a national penalty coming down upon us. National. Now, 2 Chronicles 33:6, there's a little more. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. And he wrought much evil in the sight of the Eternal to provoke him to anger. Now, this passing through the fire over here, in ancient times, they used to take one child and they'd pass that child through the fire, kill it. Like we saw here in Codex Magica, you know, the druid priest would go out and they'd find a guy, probably a virgin, a woman, and put her in a wicker basket and then burn her. Well, this burning of human, this is human sacrifice by burning, is called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. Now, in more modern times, we don't actually kill our children. What we do is we get them birth certificates and we pass all of our children through the fire and give them to the state. So that the state now, by way of the birth certificate, owns your child. And then people, they call the law school very regularly, and they say, they got the social lady over here on their case. And they're concerned about the way these people are raising their children or what they're doing. And it's simply the state coming to you, the babysitter, and asking you, well, how are you raising our child? I mean, you gave the child to us. And people are shocked when you tell them, well, you got a birth certificate for your child. You passed your seed through the fire to Moloch. And they look at you like you're, you know, Mork from Mork, about ready to drink water with your little finger. Now, the prophets had something to say about this also. In Isaiah 8:19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You know, instead of looking at Harry Potter or going to a seance, shouldn't you be looking to the God of Abraham? Most people don't want to do that because they're titillated by the power, by these satanic powers. As I pointed out when we started tonight's program, I mean, you know, here's the Pharaoh, and he's watching Moses and Aaron come in here, throw their rods on the ground and on the floor, and they become serpents, snakes. And then they bring the magicians in and they do the same thing. They brought in Houdini and he did the same thing. And he said, hey, that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. That's magic. Magic, boys and girls, is real. Some of it's sleight of hand, you know, like pulling rabbits out of the hat and flipping the three little cups around with the pea underneath. That's what we call sleight of hand. But much of what you're actually witnessing out there is real. I mean, that is outside the laws of physics. You have people oftentimes go to the hospital and they go into what's known as spontaneous remission. Spontaneous remission. And it occurs 6% of the time. And reported in the literature, spontaneous remission. You go to the hospital, you got terminal cancer, and it just goes into remission and the person survives and the cancer goes away. Doctors don't have an explanation for it. What you're watching here is a miracle. That's called divine healing. Satan can perform divine healing, and the God of Abraham can perform divine healing. This guy Satan is no piker. Satan is very powerful, has lots of real spiritual power. But it's the spiritual power of Beelzebub, and the God of Isaac tells you, the God of Abraham tells you, don't do that. Don't you practice the black magic. You come to me, you pray to me, and I'll do that for you. But don't you, like Saul, go conjuring up dead spirits by the power of a witch with a familiar spirit. And in Isaiah 19:3, the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits and to wizards. And boy, isn't that the truth. You know, today we are seeking after. I remember Nancy Reagan, while she was in the White House with the president, brought in a witch with a familiar spirit because she wanted information. And no doubt she got it. I don't know whether President Reagan was a practicing wizard or not. I didn't get any information on Reagan, but I did on George Bush. Now, the Bushes are both practicing occultists. Both of them belong to Skull and Bones. That is the preeminent, premier witchcraft organization in the United States called Skull and Bones. When you belong to Skull and Bones, boy, you've arrived. You are in the black arts. Isaiah 47, verses 9 through 12, gives us a little bit more. But those two things shall come to you in a moment and one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. Because you trusted in your wickedness and you have said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. And you have said in your heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon you. You shall not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon you, and you shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments, and with the multitude of your sorceries, wherein you have labored from your youth. If so be, you shall be able to profit, and if so be thou mayest prevail. Now, we practice this Harry Potter and Halloween from our youth. We have trained our children to practice witchcraft. And this is a prophecy in Isaiah 47. It says, okay, you made your choice. Now you're going to live with it. As my old granny used to say, well, sweetheart, you made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. Jeremiah had a little something to say about it. In Jeremiah 14, verses 13 through 16. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Eternal said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Eternal concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. And yet they say, sword and famine, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, because I will pour their wickedness upon them. When that happens here in the United States, now here's our president. He says, the economy is wonderful. Everything's going great. The economy isn't wonderful. We're in recession. Inflation's running at 10% plus. We're in hock up over our eyebrows and can't pay our debts. We're under the sword of Damocles. And these false prophets that we call politicians, they peep and they mutter. And they preach to us smooth things. Things that we want to hear. They preach deceits. They are liars and false prophets. And they come in the name of the God of Abraham. And they say, but we have been sent. I'm Billy Graham. I'm Jerry Falwell. I'm Oral Roberts. I'm Robert Shuler. These people are all 33rd degree Masons. They all practice the occult. These are the false prophets. These are the prophets of Satan. These are the prophets that practice the occult and teach you to do the same. And the ultimate end to that is death. National captivity, deportation, famine, war. And what we're witnessing over here in Afghanistan and Iran is the tip of the iceberg. And there's more to come. Ezekiel said, and our prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, the Eternal, when the Eternal is not spoken. They come to us and they preach to us in our churches and they tell us, God has said, when God has not said. I think Tex Mars has done us a great service. He's identified the enemy. He's identified the people. He's got the photographs in here. These people are making the hand signs. These people are doing the occult, and they're doing it right out and up and straight in your face. CBS isn't hiding anything. They've got the all-seeing eye right there on their logo. Exxon's not deceiving you. They've got the double cross right in their name. Shell isn't deceiving you. They've got the sun, the god of the Shell Oil Company, right on their logo. And so do all of the rest of the big multinational corporations. In secret, giving you the finger, boys and girls, sticking it right under your nose. Or as God says, will you put the branch to my nose? Will you give me the finger? Witchcraft is giving God the finger. All right, we're about out of time, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there. And remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us here at the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.